Good afternoon. This is Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net, presented by me, William English. Well, it has been said by someone once that an intellectual is someone who can hold two conflicting ideas in their head at the same time. But what if you hold three or four conflicting ideas? Does that make you hyper-intelligent or crazy? I went to Leicester on Monday to visit Sandra's mother, who doesn't know where she is anymore. Later, we met with Adham Fisher, who happens to live in Leicester, and was on this show a few weeks ago. Adham, that's it's Adam spelt with an H in it, so it's actually Adham, tries to beat records for visiting tube stations. That is, you have to visit every station on a city's tube network within a set time. In the case of London, the record is about 16 hours. Well, Adham is going to America in March to recapture the record in Chicago, as someone has trimmed 5 minutes off his time, so he's determined to reclaim the title. He's given up his job in Birmingham, working for a company that produces hoists for lifting disabled people in and out of baths. Before that, he studied German at Sheffield before dropping out. I first encountered Adham when he contacted me about his 1,000 Stations Metro EP. He had been given a CD of Sandra Cross's M's Bar, which is basically recordings of buffet car announcements on the train between Leicester and London, by someone who works in the ticket office on Leicester Station called Ben Langham, which also has an H in it, so that's Langham. Who is friends with another Ben Langham, who records the sounds of escalators. They are friends, the two Ben Langhams, who know Adham Fisher, who attempts to break the tube station visiting record, and who entered Carluccio's restaurant brandishing the M's Bar vinyl LP, which has a black rail link motif on the front, black on white, no lettering, and which, it has to be said, looks slightly fascistic, out of context, like a variation on SS or something, but that's pure coincidence. In fact, the Rail Link logo, when reversed, becomes the C-Link logo. Adham ordered garlic bread. I had fish cake with rosemary potatoes and a glass of white wine. Sandra had mushroom risotto. And the waitress spilled a glass of water in a spectacular fashion, which caused flurries of paper towels and plastic signs declaring danger, wet floor. Adham walked back to the station with us, and there was Ben Langham, one, behind the glass partition in the ticket office, so Adham introduced him to Sandra for the first time. Sandra's friend Judy was in the distance. She has been in England, that's Judy, for 8 years, but hardly speaks English, and works in an AMT coffee booth on the station, where she stands under about six CCTV cameras, one aimed at the till, one at her, one at the coffee machine, and the rest as backup. This was her day off. For a while, it got quite mad with Adham, who has a cycle helmet covered in brown parcel tape, showing the M's Bar vinyl LP record to Ben Langham 1 and saying to him, "This is Sandra Cross, who made the record you told me about." For a brief time, there seemed to be various chance connections bouncing around the station hall. Across the road from the station, a shop which used to belong to my father in the 1960s and was known as Jack English, the lighting centre. At the time, the window would have been full of chandeliers and light fittings. He sold the shop in about 1970, and it then became a florist for 35 years. Roy Vickers, it was called. Then a sort of clothes shop, misnamed Style. And then last year, after nearly 40 years, it was taken over by a company selling bohemian crystal chandeliers. So now it looks the same as it did in 1970. I half expected to see my father walk out of the shop, but that's not possible because he died 10 years ago. For this week's show, I intended to bring together more William Englishes, that being my name, and also the name of a thrash band in Thetford. And I recently came across a record by Bill English, who is a jazz drummer and was married to Dionne Warwick in the 1960s. This particular Bill English LP was displayed on the wall in the basement of Harold Moore's Records in Soho. I had seen it there about 3 weeks ago and made a beeline for the shop, down the stairs and up to the wall. It had gone. I asked the staff, who had no knowledge of it. The owner of the shop, who used to do a show on Resonance, passed by, so I said, "What happened to the Bill English LP, which is my name too?" He said, "I didn't know that was your name. I have nothing to do with jazz if I can help it." Foyle's Jazz Shop have never heard of Bill English and couldn't find any trace of it on Discogs or any other website. This is a track by William English, the Thrash Band. Actually, it's not supposed to sound that rough. I'm going to change over and put it in the other CD player. It is supposed to sound raw, but not quite as raw as that. Let's try again.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah, well, that was the group thrash band called William English. That's from their CD called Home, and that track was called THC. Continuing with my researches into art and language, the conceptual art group, and the band The Red Crayola, I've brought along an LP by them from 1981 on the Rough Trade label called Kangaroo. The cover shows a painting of a kangaroo upside down, somewhat in the manner of Bartlett's. The following quote by Michael Baldwin of Art and Language, not Coronation Street, is priceless. One of the more memorable observations made to us recently was by someone in New York who said, "It's so interesting that in relation to your earlier work, you have become so lyrical. At some point, I have to regard that statement as first order." The displacements in the work were successful enough to direct that person into a 180-degree misinterpretation. That misinterpretation is, as it were, one of the ironies internal to the work. The attempt to produce a stable, non-radical, non-skeptical, non-ironic, non-self-inconsistent interpretation of the work must be doomed to failure, or the work has failed. This is not charismatic solipsism. The work requires the prosecution of conflict, not the luxury of the play of contrasts. This conflict may always remain ordinal. You may never get a sense of the whole. This is reality, the only chance against manipulative barbarism. The ontological problem is that a work of art tears itself apart, having worn the clothes of unity. Adorno's interpretation of Beethoven's Missa Solemnis is entirely germane. I think we can extract more hope than Adorno. I don't think I have to resort to quite the same artsy pessimism as he insists upon. The radical incompleteness of what he called the human project, the necessity for the radical interpretation at any and every moment in the unfolding of that project, and therefore the dry necessity of taking risks with aesthetically incomplete and self-uncompleting works, is what hope there is for a human project. This is entirely distinct from the solipsistic play of contrasts authorised as a secure cultural moment. That's Tony Hancock.
fails to be qualified by that fact.
I say it's uphill work, as if that could be. In fact, in his defense, and Roman's part in two.
It was in 1917 that Russia's revolution was led by Lenin led the revolution. If history had a problem, he got the real solution. Lenin created Soviets out of war, chaos, and confusion. The revolution shook the world 10 days to its conclusion. The revolution shook the world. It lasted 14 days. It wouldn't shake without him. There were no other ways. When it didn't shake enough for him, he hoped it was a some contradictions, but perseverance paid.
Yeah, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and those two tracks were by the Red Crayola with Art and Language from 1981 from an LP called Kangaroo. The first track was called A Portrait of V.I. Lenin in the Style of Jackson Pollock, Part 1. And track two was called A Portrait of V.I. Lenin in the Style of Jackson Pollock, Part 2. I'm still negotiating with the Listen Gallery, hoping to get Art and Language, or at least Mike Baldwin and I think Mel Ramsden, into the studio to discuss, to talk about Art and Language's conceptual music and their liaisons with the Red Crayola. But today we're going to play out with some more tracks from Kangaroo. The titles are almost worth reading out on their own. We have The Principles of Party Organisation, The Tractor Driver, Plekhanov, The Mistakes of Trotsky. And some of these, well, two or three of these tracks appear on Corrected Slogans, their first LP in 1976. Yeah, so we play out now with, where are we up to? Track four. Looks like we're going to go straight into Born to Win, Transactional Analysis with Gestalt Experiments.
Now, worth the value of asking.
Ladies and gentlemen,
do I feel I am from your child experience? Who do I believe I am from your parents' opinion? Who do I believe I am from your adult data processing? Who do I want to be my potential being? What are the barriers to being what I want? And what things will I do so as to be what I want? Do I value what helps me to be what I want? Do I value what helps others be what they want? Can my potential grow by my own will and want?
The transactional list of questions for winners. This analysis to abolish losers is the mythical guest, Bluten Eisen Sapir, the Geistes Geschichte of California.
It's always the political form.
Keep all your friends.
To fail to perceive the difference is to fail to perceive the difference between the meaningless pattern of political currents and
history. We will.
bullshit makes someone a good wife. And we can send cinnamon buns, ringing prices, shave our minds. Don't take the logical improvement that makes progress happen fast. The picture of the young milkmaid is made only of mosaic, but it's a monumental one. The future that I'd
a success, whose efficiency brings happiness, will turn to form unless efficiency tempers romanticness. Love can be misery and ridicule, the hope that elevates.